truly he was the resurrection and the life, and I, Paul, who am the recipient of this resurrection and know whereof I speak and have knowledge of the fact that those inhabitants of the spirit world who have never received this resurrection are still in the condition of death, so far as obtaining the divine love of the Father and the consciousness of immortality are concerned, and so I declare unto you what I have attempted to describe as the resurrection from the dead, is the true resurrection. I will stop, as I have written a long time. So my dear brother, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Paul. I am here, your old professor. I merely want to say that I desire to finish my discourse of some weeks ago and am ready at any time that may suit your convenience. Well, I will come one night this week and try to finish. I see that you are in a very good condition now, as your brain is working very well. The message that you have received from Paul is a wonderfully deep message upon the existence of the resurrection, and as I understand and have experienced, the resurrection is a true explanation of its meaning. Paul is a very logical and clear writer, and I am glad that he finds such little difficulty in making use of your faculties. He is very much pleased at the success of the experiment, and his estimate of you is very great, as are the estimates of all the higher spirits who write. Well, my dear boy, I often think of the wonder of all this experience, and sometimes let my mind return to the days when you were my dear pupil, and I think how wholly we were in want of any conception that such a thing could be. And I can't tell you how glad and thankful I am that we ever came in contact with each other, for I will frankly and assuredly say that if I had never met you, I doubt if I would have had the privilege of meeting such spirits as your grandmother and mother, and of having received the benefits of their advice and the influence of their love, as well as the companionship of your father and Mr. Riddle. I often think of how a mere accident as your coming to my school should have brought about such momentous results, and in thinking I am so grateful to our Heavenly Father. So my boy, keep up your good work and you will find a wonderful happiness when you come over. The dark spirits whom you help are so very grateful to you and are all lovers of you, and your friends are ready at all time to protect you from the evil that might come to you from the influences of the many evil spirits who have their habitations so near your earth. Yes, more than you can imagine, I want to say this further thing, and that is, that very many spirits who don't have the opportunity to write to you are influenced very much by what they hear you tell others, and act on the advice that you give to those who write. And small wonder at the confidence of these spirits have in you and the influence you have with them. So many are being helped, and our work is made so much easier because they listen to us and believe so much more readily when you advise them to do so. Well, we are very happy and progressing all the time. Oh, I wish I could tell you how beautiful she is and how loving and how much she thinks of 325. The Paget Messages 1916, you. She is with you quite often and is trying with the rest of us to help you in every way. We know when you pray for us, and it does help us more than you can conceive of, for your prayers are sincere, and, I know, ascend to the Father, who answers the prayers of the sincere and trusting. So I say, we all love you very much, and feel that we cannot do for you what we should like to. But you must believe in us and know that we are with you and have more power than you may think to help. I have written too long already, and your wife says, Professor, I don't like to be discourteous, but I must suggest that you stop and let that baby boy go to bed, for he will sit up all night if you continue to write. What a beautiful and loving wife you have, and how we all love her for her goodness. So my dear boy, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Joseph H. Salyards. I am here, Helen. Well, you need a keeper, for you never know when to go to bed. I mean that you must not let your interest in us or our writing interfere with those things which are necessary for your physical welfare. I will say only a word more, and that is, that I love you with all my heart and soul, and am with you all the time that I can spare from my work. Yes, he told me what you said, and I will try to find him sometime and bring him to answer for himself. I see you object, and it may work all right, I don't know. He says he was there and gave Mr. Morgan a guide, a very powerful Indian of the more civilized tribes. He is something like White Eagle, and will be a great benefit to Mr. Morgan. Yes, White Eagle says his name is Red Fox. So with all my love, I am your own true and loving, Helen. February 11, 1916. I am here, Stephen B. Elkins. I have written you before, and I merely want to say now that I am in a better condition than when I last wrote you. I acted on your advice, and went with your grandmother, who is so very beautiful, and good, and listened to her explanations of the way to get out of my darkness and sufferings, and tried to follow her advice. And as a result, I find that much of my suffering has left me and I am in more light. I tell you, the relief that has come to me is beyond description, and the hope that I now have helps me 326, to see that there is complete salvation for me, and that I may attain to the happiness which she tells me of. I want to express to you my thanks for your assistance, and for directing me to those beautiful and bright spirits who compose your band, and who are doing so much good to the spirits in darkness and torment. I now realize how unimportant were all the things of earth. I mean the material things, such as money and position and fame, and if I could only tell my children and wife and the others of my family what are the important things for them to do, I would be so happy, for notwithstanding the fact that I am no longer immortal, I love them with all my heart and soul, and want to see them happy. But, of course, I don't know how I may reach them, for they do not believe in spiritualism, or that I can communicate with them, or even that I am in a position to realize the real life of the spirit world. They are thoroughly orthodox and are resting in the security, as they believe, of their faith in the teachings of the church to which they belong. I am so helpless in this particular, and I see no way by which I can benefit my loved ones, except as I may be able to influence them by my presence, which is with them almost continuously. Yes, I know you would help them if you could, but I fear it is as you say, and your informing them of my having written you would do no good. So I will have to try to influence them as you say, and in their moments of weakness or unhappiness, when their longings for higher things assert themselves, try to make my presence and influence felt by them as a reality. But I will not despair, for God, in His mysterious workings, may at some time turn their thoughts to the things of the soul, and then I feel that I will be able to get nearer to them. I am now in the earth plane, but in a place so much brighter than when I first entered the spirit world. My associates and surroundings are so very different, and my soul seems to have expanded, so that I am commencing to understand what this great love that your grandmother and others talk to me about, means. If I had only known when on earth, what are the real things of existence, and how the soul is everything, how much happier I would be now, but that is past and I am striving now to work for the future. I want to say this though, that you are a most favored man in the matters pertaining to the soul development, and in the great number of exalted spirits who seem to be with you so often, and write you such wonderful messages of love and truth. When these spirits are present and hear what is written, and when the greatest of all spirits write you, I am almost overcome with the glory of his presence and the love that he seems to cast upon you and all about the room. He is a most beautiful and loving spirit, and his advice has shown me that only the divine love of the Father can bring to mortals or spirits the great happiness which I see that these exalted spirits possess. I, of course, when on earth was not a believer in these things of the soul, or in any Jesus or even in a God in the sense that I now realize exists. And when I came to the spirit world you cannot understand how ignorant and poor I was. But now I know that there is, and was on earth, a Jesus, and that he is the most wonderful of all the spirits that I have ever seen, and, as I tell you, I have seen very many from the celestial spheres. But I must not write more, for you have been very kind in receiving this long letter. I again wish to express my thanks to you for your great help. Well, I understand, but the worry that you have in that particular is only for the moment. It will soon become a thing of the past and disappear from your mind. For I must tell you that you will not be left to worry much on this subject. You have the help of a powerful band of spirits, helping you in this way as well as in other ways, and sooner or later you will realize the results of their assistance. So don't let this matter worry you very much. I wish that I could help you, but I cannot, and can only try to encourage you by telling you what I have. So I will say goodbye and hope that I may have the privilege of writing again. With my best wishes and kindest feelings, I am your friend, Stephen B. Elkins. I am here, Helen. Well, these spirits wanted so much to write, but White Eagle won't let them do so, for he tells them that this is not their night, and that if they will come on Wednesday night they may write. He is very good and kind to them, and they understand him, and while they are disappointed yet they take his advice and leave. Well, sweetheart, I am so glad that you are feeling better, for you were not in good condition last night, and I think it was because you were worrying over Nita, but, as I told you, there is no necessity for you to worry. I am very happy in my new home, and I intend to write you about it very soon, and I know you 327 will be much pleased to learn what a beautiful home I have. I will write my other message first, as I promised, and you will think that I can do a little deep thinking as well as can some of the other spirits. So try to get into a very good condition, for you know, there are a number of spirits who have promised to write to you, and they are all anxious to do so. I was not present, but he, Elkins, told me that he had written. He is a spirit who has progressed considerably, and seems to be very anxious to get the Father's love. He almost worships your grandmother, who has been so good and kind to him, and believes implicitly in her advice and her love for him, and he is with us a great deal, and never seems to tire of listening to your grandmother. I know that he will soon get the love in his heart and will progress to a higher sphere. He has a great deal of the natural love, and seems to love his family so much. Well, I will not write about these other spirits as it is late. The judge is progressing and is with you quite often as you receive the messages from the higher spirits. He is much interested in them, and thinks that it is wonderful that you should attract to you so many of the spirits from the celestial heavens. He says that he did not appreciate you when on earth, and is so sorry that he did not, for he believes that he would be in a better condition now had he understood your advice. He is quite happy though, and so is his Rose, who is with him nearly all the time. They make a happy couple, and Rose wants me to send her love. They are here now and want to write, but I tell them it is too late. He says, not on your life, as he is with the one that he loves and who loves him. And there is no other in all the universe for him. And Rose says he is right, and that he does not want any little Dutch girl, or any other girl. So they both send their love. He says he will be glad to do so. He says he will try his best to prepare a message that will be interesting, but not such a one as he might have written for the university, that he sees how mistaken Dr. Holler is in his ideas of spiritual things and in his teachings, that he would like to write the doctor a letter telling him of his mistakes, but he supposes the doctor wouldn't believe that he had written it. But I must stop or they will talk all night. Take good care of yourself and love me with all your heart, for I love you more than I can tell you. I, the Paget Messages 1916, must leave you now. With all my love I am, your own true and loving, Helen. February 15, 1916. I am Saint Clement the Pope. I merely want to say that I am glad to be able to testify as to the work that you have been selected to do, and as to the fact that Jesus and many of the high spirits write to you. I know that my testimony is not necessary in order to convince you of these facts, but there may be some who will more readily believe when they know that a Pope of the Roman Catholic Church gave his testimony to these facts. I am now an inhabitant of the celestial spheres, and am happy beyond description. But, as I have told you, I was compelled to undergo great sufferings before I was relieved of my recollections of the evil that I had done on earth. But I will write you more in detail later, and hope that I may have the opportunity. So, wishing you success and happiness, I'm your brother in Christ, Clement. February 16, 1916. I am here, Luke. Well, do you think you can take my message tonight? It looks like you may, at any rate we will try. As I was saying, in what way is a man to obtain this development of the soul and its natural love? In the first place, he must recognize the fact that he does not live to himself, alone, that what he conceives to be the workings of his own mind and will are not always the result of thoughts and desires that originate in him, but are largely the products of the influences of the workings of the minds of spirits who are around him, trying to impress him with their desires and wills, and consequently, you will understand that it is very important to man as to what kind of spirit influences he has surrounding and working upon him. If these influences are good, the better it is for his progress in the development of this natural love, but if they are evil influences, then, of course, such development is retarded. Consequently, the first thing for a man to do is to attempt to attract to himself influences of the higher nature, and he can do so by trying to cultivate good thoughts and to indulge in good and moral acts. The great law of attraction that we have written about applies and works in such cases as this, as it does in every other relation of God's 328 universe. If a man's thoughts are evil, there will always be attracted to him spirits of similar thoughts, and when they come to him, they attempt to and succeed in intensifying these evil thoughts of his, which attract them to him. It must emphatically be understood in this regard, that man may and often does originate his own thoughts and desires, and it is not necessary that any influence of these evil spirits should be present and operate upon his brain or affections, in order that these evil thoughts and desires should come into existence. And again, man has a will power that is susceptible of being exercised, free from the wills of these evil spirits, and you will see how true this is when you remember that he can exercise that will power, free and independent from the will of God himself. So I say that these thoughts and desires may and do originate in man, free and independent of the wills or influences of these evil spirits, and as a fact, these spirits are attracted to him only when these thoughts that he has originated are evil. Now, if man would have this progress that I speak of, he should endeavor to have good and pure thoughts and desires, and then he will attract to him spirits who are good and pure, and their influences will help him to a wonderful degree in strengthening and increasing these thoughts, and make it less and less likely that evil thoughts will arise in his brain, or evil desires in his affections. And as a consequence, his will power will be exercised in doing those things which are good and moral. Now, while man may originate these thoughts and desires, he must also know as a truth that this progress is not dependent upon him alone, for when he is in that condition to attract the good spirits, they will invariably come to him and render their help, and it will prove to be a wonderful and never failing help. Now, man's thoughts and desires are not always, as may be supposed, the result of something that may be hidden within himself, and of which he may not know its existence. I mean not in all cases, and probably in only a minority of cases, for most frequently are these thoughts and desires the children of an objective influence, that comes to him by reason of objects becoming sensible to his ordinary senses, which create or suggest these thoughts or desires. Without going into details, you will understand what I mean. But as a mere illustration, a glass of whiskey may and does suggest to a man who likes whiskey the thought and desire that he should take a drink, and thereby bring into operation his will. The Paget Messages 1916, which is followed by the act of drinking, and so with many other objects which a man meets in the course of his daily life. But these thoughts and desires arise not only from seeing objects, but also from feeling and tasting them. And again, these objective suggestions, causing these thoughts and desires, arise and exist not only from the real object sensed, but also from words and thoughts which are expressed by other human beings in course of conversations, or in books and literature, and when they come in this way they are frequently more effective than in any other. And hence, as these objective words and thoughts enter the mind of man, they create similar thoughts, which frequently intensify and attract the evil spirits of like thoughts, with their degenerating influences. Hence the importance of a man avoiding companionship where such communications take place and the books and literature where these evil suggestions are made. It has been well said, that evil communications corrupt good manners. And I may add that such communications corrupt good thoughts, and produce evil desires and retard the progress of the soul in its natural love. For it must be remembered that this love is pure and free from all evil or taint of defilement when it is fully developed, and anything that tends to defile it, retards the progression of the soul in this particular. So the plain lesson to be drawn from all this is that man must, in the first place, make the effort to have only good and pure thoughts and desires from his inner self, And next, he must avoid those objects and associations that tend to cause to arise in him these evil thoughts. And thirdly, he must learn the truth that when he has these evil thoughts, he attracts to himself spirits of evil, who by their influence can and do intensify these evil thoughts and desires. I know as regards this last mentioned truth, that the majority of men have no knowledge of its existence, but it is time that they should learn that such a danger to their soul's progression does exist and is always imminent. And they should learn this other fact, that when their thoughts are pure and free from defilement, they have surrounding them the influence of good spirits, who work to increase and make permanent their good thoughts, and as these good thoughts continue, the natural love develops towards its pristine condition of purity, and man comes nearer to his design condition of existence. So you will see from this, that as man's thoughts and desires become freed from these 329 things that tend to defile him, he naturally progresses toward that condition which is necessary, in order for him to have this development of the soul in its natural love. Again, the development may be helped very much by man thinking and doing acts of charity and kindness, and observing the golden rule, for every act of charity and kindness and self-sacrifice for the sake of others, has its reflex action in his own condition of love and soul, and helps their development. In short, the observance by man of all the moral laws, which are many and varied, tends to bring about the development of the natural love. And this must be remembered, that as this development proceeds, the tendency to indulge in the perverted appetites of the flesh, as they are called, will disappear, and as it disappears, this love, of course, becomes purer and sweeter, and brings man nearer to his state of perfection. And again, the meditation upon spiritual things, and the outflowing of this love towards the Father will cause the progression. For while all men, as we have said, do not seek for the divine love, yet as all men are children of God, he helps them to the full extent of their desires, towards happiness, and the perfecting of this love in its natural pure state, and with which he endowed them at their creation. Upon their will and aspirations depends the nature of the help which the Father gives to them, but always he gives his help and blessings, and that to the fullest. His great desire is that man shall become perfect in that love which they possess and which they seek for, and the natural love in its qualities may become as perfect in man, as may the divine love in its qualities. Each is just as much in harmony with God's universe, in its respective qualities, as is the other. So I say, man is helped, and more than in any other way, by his meditations of the higher things of his being, and by prayer and aspirations to the Father, who hears the prayers of the man who has only this natural love, and answers them just as he does the prayers of the man who has the divine love in his soul. Ultimately all sin and evil will be eradicated from the universe, and man in his mere natural love will become pure and perfected and happy. I have tried in my inefficient way to show man how he may progress in the development of his natural love, and if he will follow my advice, he will succeed. For as man, by the indulging of these perverted appetites of the flesh, and the exercise of his will power, fell to a low degree of degeneracy, the Paget Messages 1916, so he can by ceasing to indulge in these perverted appetites, and the exercise of that same will power, rise again to his condition of purity in his natural love. And besides, he has the help of the Father and the good angels in his efforts to recover, and also the experience of the result of his fall, which he may not be conscious of, but which in his inner self has an existence, and is continually working. Well, my dear brother, I must stop, and I feel that you have taken my message very successfully. Read it over and correct errors of construction. I will come soon and write again. Your brother in Christ, Luke. February 17, 1916. I am here, mother of Leslie. I am here and I want to say just a word to my son, as I have not written him for some time, and you know how much a mother's love means. I only want to say that I am with him so very often with my love and mother's longings for his happiness and prosperity. He, I know, has a great deal of the Father's love in his soul, and that brings him so much nearer to me and causes me the happiness which the knowledge gives me that he will when he comes over become one of us in our consciousness of immortality. Oh! I tell you that this knowledge is a thing more precious to me than I can express, for it shows me that he, my boy, is very dear to the Father and to his elder brother, Jesus, the glorious one and the most loving one. Why, if I could only tell you of the love of the Master for you both, you would never more doubt that you are his chosen ones for the great work which lies ahead of you, and which even more is resulting in the salvation of many. He may not know that he is helping you in your work among the dark spirits, but he is, and very frequently when you two are sitting together and talking about the great love of the Father and the fact that these poor spirits can be helped by the higher spirits. These dark ones hear you, and many times they believe enough in you to cause them to seek our help and thereby learn the way to light. It makes me so happy because I know for each of these spirits that are rescued from their darkness and suffering there comes to you an additional blessing from the Father, and increased love from all the spirits who love to linger around you. So, tell my boy, that what I say is true, and he must realize that while he cannot communicate to these spirits as you do, yet, he has helped many of these spirits with his conversation and the love which he had in his soul and which these spirits sense when they 330 come in close contact with him as they frequently do. We are all very happy and are waiting for the day of our uniting, which will be in God's own time, but not now. He has a work to do on earth, and until that work is done he will not come to us, and that is more real than apparent. His little soulmate certainly loves him, and at times we all tease her, but she seems to rather enjoy it, and she does. His father and sisters send their love and want him to know that they are with him very much. So, thanking you for your kindness, I will say with all my love and blessings for you both. His mother, Priscilla Stone. February 18, 1916. I am here, Robert G. Ingersoll. Well, my friend, I come tonight to say a few words, for I have been very anxious to take advantage of your kindness and communicate a few thoughts that have come as the result of my progress here in matters spiritual. As I told you in my last communication, I am a thoroughly convinced spirit as to the truths of Christianity as taught by the Master, not as set forth in the Bible, but as I have been instructed by him and your grandmother, and other bright spirits, since I have had my understanding and soul open to these great truths. I have progressed very much since I last wrote you and have received into my soul a wonderful abundance of this divine love of the Father, which you first called to my attention when I thought that you were a foolish and deceived man. But I now know that you were not foolish, nor deceived, for this divine love is a real, existing thing, and is obtainable by all God's children, whether on earth or in the spirit world, who may seek for it in the way that the Master teaches. My mind, as well as my soul, has opened up to the truth of these teachings, and I now realize that I was in great darkness on earth in my own beliefs and teachings, and that man is not of himself sufficient to bring about his own salvation, but must seek for and believe that his salvation is dependent very largely upon the help that will come to him from the spirit world. I mean, that such help is necessary whether he seeks the divine love of the Father or only the purification of his natural love and the happiness that will arise therefrom. The Paget Messages 1916. Of course, man's own will and desires are important factors in obtaining this salvation, and he may go on for his whole mortal life, and for a long time after he comes into the spirit world, and never obtain this salvation unless he realizes the fact that he needs this outside help and that it is ready and open to him for the seeking. I know that many may be astonished and refuse to believe that I am now in this condition of belief. But as I went on earth sought only for the truth, so when I came to the spirit world I sought for the truth, and when I found it, as I have, I believed and accepted it and made it a part of my faith, with the result that I am now convinced beyond all doubt that I am the possessor of a knowledge that has its foundation in truth which never changes. I am in the earth plane yet, but in a very bright and beautiful location, and free from the darkness and sufferings that I first endured when I came to the spirit world. Life is a thing that is lived on earth only for a short time, and man is given the opportunity to make of it the great means of his salvation and progress to the higher spheres of light and happiness and immortality that those bright spirits tell me of. And when men fail to make the most of the opportunity which the mortal life affords, then they lose that which, when they become spirits, would help them beyond all conception to progress to the higher realms. I know that in the case of many thinking men, as in my own case, it is impossible for them to believe the teachings and dogmas of the churches and the interpretations and even many of the precepts of the Bible. As a consequence, men turn entirely away from these things, though there are many truths in the Bible, and become seekers of knowledge which science and their own reasoning powers afford them.